Well, good evening, everybody. We are live at the Antlers, another edition of the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. Coming off a difficult weekend, to say the least. Lakers get beat on Friday night, 8-0. You know, the team that we played against is pretty good. I'd say they're the best team we've seen all season in the WCHA, maybe the best team we've seen all season. But going into the series, there were questions about Minnesota State, how well they were playing. Those all got answered. Their coach supposedly threw their lineup names into a hat and picked them out. And whatever he did certainly worked. They haven't been scoring. They were 1-2-1 going into the series in their last four games. They had lost a game at home to Northern Michigan. But they got well, and they got well at the wrong time for the Lakers. 8-0 Friday, 5-1 on Saturday. And Damon, they look like a pretty good hockey team.
Well, they were, you know, and I think even watching on film, you saw some of those glimpses off of the Michigan Tech weekend, which is where they were before us, and which is a good hockey team as well. So, you know, it's interesting. You get a little chance to talk to the Coach Hastings there through the weekend. And as you said, they haven't been their complete team, and maybe this, you know, gets them there. I'm not sure, but we like that team for sure. I mean, you know, Doug and I were there. Rich was out recruiting, and you sit there and say, you know, like, as you mentioned, that's the best team we saw. And you know, we didn't have our A-plus game for sure, and that's a piece of it, but they had a lot to do with those scores, certainly, and it's a team that, you know, I'm not sure why their scoring troubles were in place beforehand, but they certainly showed their skill and their finish ability throughout the weekend, and it, like you said, it leaves a terrible taste in your mouth and a hole in your heart. You know, very, very difficult weekend for sure.
Yeah, we wanted to use it as a measuring stick going in, and I'm not sure what we learned out of it. We learned that we're not where we want to be, and we got a lot of work to do to get there. But, you know, we've talked about this before. It's a rebuilding process for Lake Superior State. We're better than we were a year ago at this time. At least we think we are. And we're led by young guys. We got a lot of people in their first year playing college hockey who are the players who score the goals and get things done.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's any question we're a better team across the board. And, you know, obviously you look at those scores and, you know, maybe you're hard to see some of that through that weekend, but you got to look beyond a small sample size, you know, with a short week to prepare. And, you know, maybe that's a small piece of it. But that when you go to Friday's game, you know, the first 13, 14 minutes, you know, we had a great start. We controlled it. I think they had two or three shots at that point, one grade A scoring chance up into there. And, you know, we have a face-off in the offensive zone with about 5 minutes left in the period, or maybe 7 minutes left in the period, and they come down, score a goal, and all of a sudden the momentum's flipped. And, you know, so you're feeling pretty good about it. Then you give up a late goal in the first period as well, and you go from having a very good start and a good road period to down 2-0, and you're kind of looking around like, what's going on? So that really flipped momentum after a really good start. You know, pucks went in our net way too easy, both from a goaltending point of view, from a team structure point of view. You know, shot blocking, once again, we saw it early in the year. We really addressed it, did a good job. I think we still, I think, lead the league maybe in block shots, and Kyle Chatham as an individual does. But our forwards have to do a much better job as they're closing out to the point of getting in shot lanes. And again, you know, we thought that the goals were way too easy to come by, both from a structure point of view, but also from a goaltending point of view. Nick and Gordy are way too good to give up a few of the goals they gave up, and they know that, and we all know that. We've seen how good those two can be, and we expect more from them, and I know they'll be right back on top of it. So that was probably the hardest part. We've been so good defensively for such a long stretch to have an outing like that. You know, can shake you a little bit and rally a little bit, but you better move forward and be ready to go.
Yeah, I think that's a good assessment, too. We did dominate the first 10 minutes of the hockey game on Friday night. I felt really good about it. I thought we were playing very, very well, but they come down. And both their first two goals, the two they scored in the first period to take a 2-0 lead, they were long-range shots. They were kind of seeing-eye shots. The one was deflected by Brett Knowles in front of the net. At first, they gave that goal to Max Cota. They took it away from him later. One thing they did all weekend, though, crashed the net really well. They always had people around the net, and they're very quick with really good stick skills.
Yeah, they do. I thought their tenacity, especially on Friday, you know, winning 50-50 pucks was really good. You know, as you can see, or those of you who got to see, their speed is difficult for us. You know, they're a good skating team. The mobility on their decor is outstanding. You know, and they, especially Friday night, they beat us up all on ice all night long and beat our forwards back up ice to lead to some easy transition goals as well. And you know, that's why we got to continue to do a better job with our team speed and our skating so we can match and play against a team like that. We don't want to hang in against a team like that. We want to beat a team like that. So that's where we're growing to and trying to get to and building towards. You know, the other part of that Friday game, so, you know, you 2-0, you know, you're not happy. You lose momentum the second period. But sure enough, the second period, you come out a minute and a half in, you give up another momentum goal. We talk constantly as a team about, you know, starting periods and finishing periods well. You know, we talk about being plus or even in the first and last minute. You got to expand it a little bit more. We gave up a goal with about a minute and a half left in the first, and then a minute and a half into the second period. And those are just giant momentum swings that are very difficult to manage. And, you know, they're a good team that likes to build and go off momentum. And they certainly just stole it right away from us and rolled with it.
Yeah, we've got some questions from the fans who are with us here tonight, as we usually do. We don't have near as many questions as I thought we might, but they're of a general nature, shall we say. One of them simply, what happened to us on the weekend, and where do we go from here, that sort of thing. And that's kind of, I think that's the same thing that all of us and even the players are thinking right now.
Well, I don't think the players are. We'll get to that in a second. You know, as disappointed and as hurt as you are, you know, I don't think there's this big overriding sense of, well, what are we or what have we done? We've shown too much. We've been, you know, good on the road up until that weekend. We've shown a lot of good things. You know, in terms of what happened, you know, even Doug and I, we watched the game back as a staff, and then you wake up Saturday, you're talking late Friday, 2-3 in the morning, and you know, if you watch two periods, you wouldn't think, you think maybe we were winning or right there with them. Even when it's 2-0, 3-0, we had about four or five grade A chances in the second period. You know, you got to cash in on one of those, and you make it 3-1 or 2-1, and all of a sudden you've got some life and some energy back. But when you can't score, you know, it gets away from you a little bit, and that certainly happened there. But through 40 minutes, you definitely don't see a game like that. But again, I think a large part of it was pucks went in our net way too easy, both, again, from the structural part, from the goaltending part. You know, jumping to Saturday night, same thing. You know, we'd been fine through the first period. We weathered their storm a little bit on home ice. It's a 0-0 game. Going into the second period, we're on a power play. We have a chance to gain the zone and get set up. We don't gain the zone, you know, due to some of our youth and execution. They come down. I don't think anybody on our bench knew what happened. We thought we were going back for a breakout. We had possession. We have a goaltender defenseman exchange issue. Turn it over. They get a, you know, an easy tap in goal that you know, was the difference. All of a sudden, momentum shifted. We give up a shorthanded goal through just a lazy turnover, an easy exchange, and you know, there's the game. There's the momentum. There's the life a little bit. So that's a little bit of the story. You know, those pucks can't go in, and our guys know it, and you know, they'll be better. They've been so good throughout the year, Gordy and Nick, and we expect them to get right back to that level, and I think they'll do that.
Yeah, we've talked about this all season long. The big problem we have is scoring goals. You just mentioned some good grade A's, and we did. We had some great chances in the first two periods on Friday night. I thought we had a number of good chances early in the game on Saturday as well, but we don't put it away. We don't score. We've only scored 30 goals in WCHA play. That's 11 fewer than Alaska Anchorage, the next lowest team in goals for. And that's the reason why we're kind of not winning some games we probably ought to be winning. We're not scoring enough goals.
Well, it's a huge point, you know, in difference and impact. And I think when you go and look at our record, and we have, you know, the 10, 12 games in a row where they're one-goal games. So if you add those 11 goals or even 8 goals that close that gap with the next team in Anchorage, you're talking about one or two more ties, one or two more wins minimum, and it looks way different. So it's a huge challenge, and it's something you continue to harp on and go over. And you know, part of what we're trying to do is improve our habits so we have guys going to the right areas and stopping in the right areas. When you stop and go to the paint, you know, being hard and heavy to play against and urgent to find those pucks. You know, unfortunately, coaching scoring and skill is not something you can readily coach. You know, it's got to be an ability and a talent. And I think we do have it. I don't think we totally lack it or anything like that. I think we have guys who can do it. If you look at freshman scoring in the league, I think Mitch Holtz is tied for second in the league, and then we've got three or four of the top four or five guys, you know, and we don't have, you know, enough upperclassmen to impact them a little bit. So our young guys, I think, can score and have shown that they can score, and they're among league leaders, a lot of those guys. I think Owen Hedrick, once again, leads freshman defenseman in scoring and is a true freshman. So there's some ability there, but we, you know, we lack some experience to help those guys along or to take some of the load off for those guys. And a large part of it's just due to the sheer numbers. You know, we don't have many upperclassmen in our lineup because we don't have many upperclassmen in our program. So it's a difficult, you know, overcome that, no question about it. But I think there is some of that there. We need to do a better job with our habits for sure. And again, it's not easily coachable. You got to have some ability to be that guy. And some guys have shown it here at the college level and at the junior level. And, you know, it'll continue to be there. So somebody asked, where do we go from here? Well, we keep on moving forward. You know, you can't let one weekend beat you multiple weekends. That weekend's over. totally unacceptable and not happy with it, but it doesn't change what we've done or who we are and where we're going. Like, we like this team. We've got a lot of good pieces. Do we have issues? No question about it. We knew that preseason. We knew that all along, even through, the good stretch of play, and there'll be more good play moving forward. So we've got to learn from it. And I thought Saturday night, especially the score got away a little bit more later, and we had to kill, I think, 3 or 4 penalties in the third period. But even sitting in the game late on the bench late and post game, there was a feeling of like, we can learn from this game. We started to match their speed a little bit more. We started to match their tenacity a little bit more. So there's some good learning points and lessons through it. And again, it's one weekend. We got to flush it, leave it behind us, learn from it for sure, and be better because of it. But it doesn't derail, where we've been and where we're going. It's just a step along the process.
Yeah, it was such a game that called for skating. I thought C.J. Hayes was one of our best players all weekend. He scored the only goal, as it turned out, on Saturday night. He's very quick, and he can play with a team that can skate. And not that other guys can't. I think a lot of guys. I thought Jake Hahn played really well on Saturday night. He took a couple penalties he probably shouldn't have. But I thought his compete level was very, very good. We've kind of wondered a little bit about him sometimes with the compete level. But, boy, I thought he played well. And he can skate, and he can handle the puck. And I think he had 5 shots on goal Saturday night.
Well, I think it was six or seven. Yeah. But, C.J. Hayes, we talked about him preseason quite a bit, about his skating ability. And that's where, as you mentioned, that's where you really notice it. Those top teams you play and elite teams, you have to be able to play with pace the way the game is played today. And because CJ is such a good skater, he fits right in those games, and can impact the game and create chances. And, I also thought he played heavy. I thought it was one of his best weekends from start to finish. I thought he played really well, finishing with a goal. He didn't go in and try to beat a guy or be cute. He went in on a breakaway, shot it from the hash marks. We showed all our scoring chances for him the weekend to try to teach some of our guys some areas we need to have better habits in, and that was one of them. You come in, you don't put it to your back end and try something soft. You keep it on your forehand, you shoot like a pro from a good area. And so I thought it was a great play by CJ there. And Jay Kant, again, he had the best weekend of his time here as well. Saturday night, I thought he was a physically dominant player, which is what we saw out of him in junior hockey, where, he led the whole BCHL in playoff scoring with a top 10 or 15 guy. He's it's been a rough goal for him to learn what it takes consistently with habits for what we're asking and how you have to play to have success. But he showed it Saturday in particular, and I think that's really positive moving forward. We got a DQ, an additional game suspension, for the late hit. And, it's too bad because, like you said, coming off his best game, you hope he can roll with it and play a little bit more. I don't agree with the extra game suspension. I don't agree with the DQ either. I thought it should have been a game misconduct on the ice. Then Greg Shepard, our supervisor officials, could have watched it back and decided if it warranted a DQ or not. One of the refs on the ice said that his elbow drove into his head, and is absolutely not true at all. His elbow was tucked right to his side the whole time. Jake's a bigger guy. He's 6'3", so he caught a shoulder to the head. And obviously, you're never trying to injure an opponent. I don't think Jake was. I truly believe he was not trying to do that. I think part of what the league took into account was the score of the game and the timing of the game. It's a tough call for him playing as good hockey, and we don't play that way. I thought the worst of the game was on C.J. Hayes, and C.J., was very lucky he didn't have a much more severe injury. His helmet was actually cracked on the play, and he had to get a new helmet in between periods, but I thought it was a very dangerous hit on C.J. How that's only a 2-minute, kind of blows my mind, but I just want to address that quickly with Jake Hahn as well.
Yeah, and I want to mention again, too, you kind of hinted at it, or you did talk about it there, but how tough this kid is. He's not big. He's a short guy. He can fly. He takes more physical abuse and gets right up. I don't think I've seen him embellish or even come close to it. I think he's really a tough kid.
Yeah, no, he is. And he plays, and obviously he's a smaller guy, so when he's going against a 6'2", 6'3", guy, physically he's going to lose that battle sometimes. But he also threw a couple of guys around. We had a good clip today for the team, too, of him winning some physical battles against their big D-core. But you mentioned last weekend, we got hit from behind. It was a 5-minute major. Didn't stay down. Didn't look like he'd been shot. That's the way we ask our guys to play. If you're hurt, that's fine. That's one thing, stay down. But if you're not hurt, that's just not. And maybe we're bad coaches, because a lot of guys are doing it, and it's drawing some penalties. But I don't think it's the right way to play the game. And even on the big hit there Saturday, he was down for a little bit because he went in with such impact into the boards and a big enough impact to crack his helmet and break his helmet. But after a couple of seconds, he got back up. And I'm sure had he stayed down, it would have been a 5-minute major. So, again, maybe we're bad coaches because we don't ask our guys to do that. But I think some of those things even out when you play the game the right way.
Yeah, a question I was asked since we've come home too is, and it's a good valid question, why don't we use a guy like CJ Hayes on the penalty kill? Not that our penalty kill's bad or anything, but here's a guy with great speed. If he picked off a puck or intercepted or knocked one by a D-man, he'd be gone.
Well, he does rep in practice. He's a guy, when we recruited him, that was an expectation that he could kill penalties. And I think you will see him in time. So he reps it quite often in practice. He's prepared if need be. I think what we found, and you know, obviously we had to give up, I think, 3 power play goals on the weekend, but going into the weekend, we were, you know, top 15 or so nationally. And we've really found a couple of, you know, 4 main guys with Terrell and Holtz killing together. Mitch can take faceoffs, so him and Terrell are partnered up, and then Corey Alley and Cuglietti. And Diego can take faceoffs as well. So we've really got our main 4 guys. And when you're top 15 nationally, you know, it's tough to go away from some of those guys. And then next up is Nenendahl and McKay. And so some of his practice rotations and reps, there's a couple areas where we want him to be a little bit better at. But at some point you'll see him, whether it's this year or moving forward. And that's part of what we want to do. We want to take some of those minutes off Terrell and Holtz and Corey Alley and Cuglietta. They play power play. They play penalty kill. So we do want some other guys to be able to take some penalty kill minutes off it, so those guys are fresh for some other situations.
Okay, we're going to take our first break tonight on the Laker Hockey Show. We'll be right back to the Antlers after this on ESPN 1400. All righty, we're back at the Antlers, our second segment of the Laker Hockey Show tonight. Bill Crawford along with the head coach of the Lakers, Damon Whitten. And I don't think we have a player joining us tonight, but we'll do that in the future. We want to remind everybody that the Antlers is our chief sponsor for this program, although we do have a number of other very good sponsors who handle this program and Laker hockey in general. And Chris Abel not able to be with us tonight, but they do have a lot of things going on at the Antlers these days, including a new happy hour times from 4 till 6 and 8 till close, and have all sorts of specials there if you want to stop down to the Antlers and ask them about it. They'd be glad to explain all that sort of thing to you, and they had a great New Year's Eve party here with great food. I've heard nothing but good things about that as well. Okay, we're off this weekend. Let's talk about that. What does it mean you can do as a hockey team? We don't play again now till 2 weeks from this past Friday at Michigan Tech. What can we do this week? It's a sort of a dictated week off. Can you do anything? Can you practice?
Yeah. It is in our accountable days, so we're okay that way. But part of what we really want to emphasize is making sure we're healthy for the stretch run. You know, we still have a couple tough trips left, including a trip to Anchorage. So for us, it's a lot about rest and recovering and kind of preparing for the stretch run. But we will be active this week. Today was an off day from the ice. Guys got workouts in. Tomorrow is just our skill development day, which was kind of instituted the second half, in which we all know we need some work on that. So that'll be a healthy day for our guys. Then Wednesday, we'll get back on the ice. Wednesday, Thursday will be very difficult days. In terms of small area compete and net front battles, both defensively and offensively, an area, again, we need to improve on. And then same thing, pace, structure, all those things. It gives us a little bit of extra time to work on some 5-on-3, some power play, and even some extra things that you don't get some time, like a pulled goalie type situation, whether you're defending it or trying to score an extra attack or goal. A lot of times in a normal prep week, you don't get some time to work on that. So it gives us an area to retouch on some areas it's been a while on. And then Friday we'll actually have a more of a team activity day. They're going to go on a team trip together. Saturday they'll practice. Doug and I will be out recruiting, so Rich will kind of be running things Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then we get right back into our prep week next week with Michigan Tech. So it's nice to have a little bit extra time to hit up some areas and clean up some areas that you haven't had a chance to do as much on.
Yeah, these are 4 tough games in a row, too. You played the first place team, Minnesota State, on its ice this past weekend, and it didn't go very well there. Now we go up to Michigan Tech, and it's going to be Winter Carnival weekend there. And I would imagine, you know from experience there, that is a very big weekend for Michigan Tech, and they'll be at the top of their game for those 2 games. So it'll be another stiff test for Lake Superior.
Yeah, they will. And I, you know, with the travel, I haven't looked too closely. I believe they're at Bowling Green this weekend, so they'll be coming back from Bowling Green. I know they play Bowling Green. I'm pretty sure it's on the road, so they've got a bit of a trip. You know, Houghton down to BG is not the easiest trip in the world there, so they'll spend some time on the bus and get back home. Mm-hmm. And Mel's pretty creative in finding off time for guys to rest and recover. But you're walking into a hornet's nest for sure. I mean, that arena, they'll be hanging from the rafters. It's a tremendous weekend for anybody thinking about going over there. If you haven't found a hotel, you're probably out of luck, but you might be able to find a ticket these days. But it'll be packed, and it's a great atmosphere. I know Friday's a late start because it's a TV game. So we got a late start Friday, then an early start Saturday. So that gives them a little bit of an advantage with more bodies to dress from, and then we'll have to be smart in our travel plan so that the bodies we take, we can sub some guys in because it's a short turnaround. That 8 p.m. start to a 5 p.m. start, it's really a short recovery time. So we want to look at it that way. But we know them; they're a good team. Alex Patan leads the league in scoring. Tyler Hannon has been out for a little bit. See if he plays against Bowling Green. But Hannon is a top 4 or 5 guy. Jamie Phillips is so good in net. That's another decor that I like the mobility and the puck skills of that decor as well. So it's a big match, and they just took 3 or 4 from Mankato. So we certainly got to get hard to work finding ways to come up to be successful and get those critical WCHA points.
Yeah, we should make mention too that the league has named its players of the week, and two of them are Mavericks. You might know CJ Franklin, Cole Player of the Week offensively, 3 goals, 2 assists, 5 points against Lake Superior. He scored 3 goals on 6 shots on the weekend. Brandon Hawkins from BG shares the Player of the Week honors offensively. He had 3 goals, 2 assists in a pair of 6-2 wins at home over Alaska Anchorage. And Cole Huggins from Minnesota State is the Defensive Player of the Week, the goaltender. His first game since December the 13th, he comes in and shuts out the Lakers on Friday night, 8-0, 17 saves in that one. He made 22 saves on 23 shots on Saturday night, and only that breakaway goal by CJ Hayes beat him. And the Rookie of the Week for the second week in a row is a goaltender from Ferris State, Darren Smith. Look out there. He's playing really well. And took 3 of a possible 4 points out at Bemidji and kind of cooled off a hot team right there. So there's your players of the week.
Yeah, and it's never good when they're coming against you. So it's been a long weekend that way. But and I Cole Huggins, I thought made some key saves, but obviously we did not test him nearly enough. We definitely should have a couple more. We had guys in all alone, and I thought possession time and offensive, we had some chances and some looks. We did a good job creating some things, but again, we got to bear down, and then Cole Huggins, good for him. He did a good job, but never good for our point of view. And as you mentioned, Darren Smith, all of a sudden he's hot, and we'll see them in a couple of weeks as well. So he's a goaltender that we knew quite well out of Madison in the USHL. Played with Mitch Holtz, and he's a good one in the pipes, and he's playing well.
Well, it's interesting too. You look at the record over the years. We haven't played Minnesota State that long. I can remember the first time we played them 4 seasons ago. We're 0-10-0 all time against them. They beat us in the playoffs last year, 9-2, the first game back last March. And then we played really well, I thought. 4-2 was the final score in the second game. Season came to an end for the Lakers. We go in there with a lot of optimism this year, and they beat us probably worse than they did last year, 8-0 and 5-1. But it's just, as you said earlier, it's a growing experience for us. And again, we're led by a lot of young people. You look at these stats, Mitch Holtz is second among WCHA freshmen in goals and points with 6 goals and 12 points. He leads this league as a freshman with faceoff wins, 232, and Diego Cuglietta is second to him with 211. So, things look good there. Anthony Nellis leads the WCHA freshman in power play points. He's got a goal and 7 assists on the power play. Cuglietta leads the freshman in game-winning goals with 3. And Hedrick, we mentioned a few moments ago, he leads defensive freshmen in scoring. And those are all great things for the future for Lake Superior State.
Well, yeah, but it's not the future, it's today. So, I don't think we care too much. I mean, again, those guys have gotten some opportunities, and they've done a good job of taking advantage of that and earning what they've gotten. I think going, if you look at our lines to start the season, if you look at our power play units, most guys have gotten a chance in those areas. There's a couple of guys that just we feel like are not power play guys or penalty kill guys, whatever it is. Guys, certain guys have certain skill sets. So as you recruit them, as you get to know them, you know whether they fit in a certain area. But when you go back to start the year, again, we've gone through a lot of line combinations, a lot of different situations. And as we often talk about, you better take advantage when you get your chance, whether it's a night in the lineup or a chance in the power play or, for running our top power play in practice. We still have penalty killers out there against them. So you better be able to go. If you think you're a penalty killer and you get a chance in practice to go against a top power play, you better show up and do your job and prove to us that, you can do it. So we're always evaluating and changing. And like you said, there are some performances going on that are worth noting. And Those guys, as you mentioned, are part of it. And we were talking off the air before that, pretty much every D-zone face-off this weekend, you would see Mike Hastings put Teddy, or as a Teddy Bluger. I forget the other, there's a brother out there as well, but Bluger on the ice for any D-zone face-off. And here you go. You've got a senior with 140, 50 games under his belt taking these critical face-offs. And for us, we have three of our centermen are freshmen. So it's just it's a tough matchup some nights, and that showed. And the score can never be that lopsided. You can't take your lumps that badly. But we're working there. And I know we'll turn it around at some point. We'll break that streak against them, and hopefully we get a chance to do it again this year.
Yeah, Teddy Bluger, I think, was 15-3 in the faceoff circle on Saturday night. I don't know what he was Friday. I didn't even pay attention to it after the game, but I did look for a. He won just about every faceoff, and obviously it seemed that way. And when we looked at it after the game, he was 15-3. They had one other player was 4-0, but the Lakers. Mitch was probably the best of our bunch that night too.
We were 46% of the team, and again, our team goal is 55% or higher, and we didn't get it. We didn't match it either night. So, and then that's another area. You've got to be good, and part of that is physical maturity and experience, and all those things going forward. So, again, we learn from it and we move forward, and we've got to be better next weekend.
All right, we're going to take our second break in the show tonight. We'll be back. We'll talk more Laker hockey on the Laker Hockey Show right after this on ESPN 1400. Okay, we're back for the third segment of the Laker Hockey Show on a Monday night. Bill Crawford along with the head coach of the Lakers, Damon Whitten, coming off a tough weekend out in Mankato, Minnesota. One of the things that makes that a tough weekend is it's one of those many long bus trips that we have during the season. There's Bemidji State, Huntsville we didn't have to go to this year. We've got a couple up in Alaska, but it's a long trip out to Mankato, and the sleeper bus left on Wednesday at about midnight. And how did things all work out from that standpoint?
You know what? I didn't, I guess probably because some of the results today, you're still kind of trying to clear that from your brain a little bit, but I didn't talk to the guys a ton today about how they felt mentally and physically. Part of that, again, we weren't on the ice with them. We just met and did some video and let Tyler Dobritz, their strength coach, take over from there. So I didn't get a real good pulse from them on how the recovery went. But, for me, and I think it's a lot easier for the players because they get to bat it a little bit and whatever, but it doesn't feel too bad. It's a pretty short trip, realistically, when you wake up and you're there. You get your Thursday night skate. So I thought the trip went well. Like some trips you go to and you feel like you've been there for 5-6 days and like, let's get home, let's get out of here. But it didn't feel that way. And again, I think, when you're 22 years old, you sleep pretty well. I think everybody has a little bit of a hard time post game to let some of the adrenaline run out and eventually get to sleep. But I don't think it's the sleeper bus that prevents it. It's just a typical post game let down and cool down. So the trip went pretty smooth. We got in, I think, 10-ish or something like that on Sunday morning, and the guys had their day about it. And again, we'll build in some off days during this week so they can continue to rest and recover. And, more importantly, get caught up in school and stay ahead in school through the stretch run.
Okay, another question from the fans tonight who are here at the Antlers with us, and we appreciate those folks joining us every week. Did Rich Mitro find any goal scorers on the weekend when he, I might imagine at this point in the season, we're not looking for somebody for next year at all. We're looking for futures, but goal scorers are pretty hard to find. Everybody's looking for them. Everybody needs them. And that's probably got to be a primary concern. But I think what we're hoping right now is that we've got goal scorers. We're going to grow them, and they're going to become very, very good.
Well, yeah, both. I mean, like you said, you mentioned some of those guys and where they stack up in our conference. And we talked last week, too, Corey Mackin, who leads freshman in scoring, he plays with a junior and a senior. And we don't have the luxury of that experience for some of our guys to have the other guys carry the load a little bit. We got young guys with young guys, so that makes it a little bit more difficult. But I know Rich had a productive weekend. There was some midget hockey he watched out in the Midwest, and then he caught some USHL games as well. As you mentioned, when you go watch a USHL game, there might be two or three guys on each team that are not committed, and anywhere from a 95 to a 98, 99. So there's not much out there, but part of it is you're either checking on your own guys, certainly watching a couple uncommitted guys. But again, in today's world, with the way teams are overcommitted some places, you want to go down and have a good conversation with the coach and ask, well, who's talking about pushing who back? And if they're going to be happy, do they want to go back for another year? Are they going to come in? So, you're always keeping your finger on the pulse a little bit to see what's out there and who can become available. You know, I think an ugly side of it too is that with coaching changes today, when there's a coaching change, some kids look at different options. So you definitely want to have a feel for who's available, who's out there, and update your reports on kids. If something does happen, or like I said, a lot of the common ones now are being pushed back. If a kid doesn't want to go back for another year, they may look to switch schools, and you want to, know what's going on and be active out there with that crowd. So it was a good weekend for Rich, and covered a lot of ground, which is always positive. And again, part of that is watching some future, some younger kids, and that's really where we're at, because we are, the 18 underclassmen, where we are looking 2-3 years out. For the most part, but if we can upgrade, we'll do our best to look to upgrade. And as we've talked about quite a bit recently, the big need now is replacing Gordy in a couple of years here in net. So that continues to be a big push of finding the right goaltender. And you're looking at every avenue to have those communications and using your resources. A lot of times too, it's such a small. The players are so connected today; it's unbelievable. Like, you don't even know some of your guys know these guys, but they're Twitter and Facebook and whatever. So your players are your best recruiters, and we try to use that as best we can as well.
Yeah, it's always amazing to me. You'll talk to somebody in our team, and he'll ask you how so-and-so is doing out. When we were at Vermont, and there was another game going on, a couple of our guys wanted to know who scored the goal for Brown that just scored, because we could hear the crowd outside, because they know
they're
each
all
other.
Buddies,
and hey, that's my buddy. I used to play with him.
Grew up in Florida together, or junior, midget, whatever. I mean, it's crazy how well they know each other, and it's also really good, because you know a lot more about their off ice character and habits and things like that. So I think back in the day, a little bit, you just kind of had to go on a coach's word, and some coaches are pretty good about it. Some coaches just want to promote their kids and help them out, but when you know a good friend of theirs, they can really tell you if that's a guy you want in your locker room. And you can ask them, like, hey, is this a guy you want to wear the jersey with for the next 3-4 years? And, hopefully they do the right thing and tell you the truth. And most of them do.
Oh, yeah. I think they know. They know what's going on along. This past weekend, too, it seems like our injury bugaboo we've had much of this season is coming to an end. Eric Draplett got back in the lineup against Anchorage. He played both games this past weekend. I thought he did pretty well for us. You did a little bit of an experiment there on Saturday night, dressed 7D and just 11 forwards, trying to maybe help out Pete Spratty and Draplett, who both played but are coming off injury. But it looks like the injuries are pretty much taking care of themselves. Those two guys played very well, and I don't think anybody else is that banged up at this point.
Yeah, nobody went down. Like I said, CJ Hayes came through unscathed after the hit there. But no, we're healthy beyond the Zach Lesh, who's done for the season. Which is a good situation to be in. And as you mentioned, the Draplett Spratty, that was part of it. We had a couple guys who hadn't played a lot, so you just want to be careful with their minutes and spelling them a little bit. I thought Jimmy Roll went in and, with his puck touches was improved. So that was a good step for Jimmy to manage pucks pretty well there. And then we'll get back to some of the other things we talked about with our full team now, just getting back into the habits that we need to have in place to be successful and get back to that good defensive structure.
There's another young guy who's been in and out of the lineup, mostly out of it. He hasn't played in 17 games. He got hurt. He had a concussion problem there back in the first half, got into some other difficulties here. Scott Patterson, how does he stand at this point? He's back practicing now. Is he somebody who might come into the lineup? He seemed to be a kid to me who might be able to score some goals.
Well, it looks like it. He did it in the BC League. I can't remember 20, 30 goals. He had a good, final year of junior hockey. We raved about him when he came back this year. He was in phenomenal shape. He got sick early on. He got injured early on, and then he had an off-ice issue. So, that's really set him back. And we had, as we leave town or as we announce the lineup, we try to, if I don't get a chance to do it, each coach will grab 2 guys, 3 guys, and let them know, what we saw in the week and what they need to work on. And, I thought Scott was a guy who had a good, really good 2 or 3 days, coming back. He missed about 2 or 3 weeks with the team. So, he's behind a little bit some ways, but he had a good couple, 2 or 3 days. And with his shooting ability, he is a guy that, you look at and you really want to see. It's never quite translated yet at this level, and the injuries were a big piece of that. But, it'll be interesting to see how he responds. And it's nice for some of those guys right now because you get a much longer sample here to prove yourself or to earn another chance to go back in the lineup or stay in the lineup. So we really get a few good evaluation days in with the bye week.
Yeah, you learn a lot when you play against a team like Minnesota State, too. They're very good. I was thinking before the game on Saturday night, some of the players they had last year who are not back with them, kids like Leitner and J.P. LaFontaine, Zach Palmquist. I thought he was a great defensive player who was an offensive defenseman. They had Max Gady, who was a big, strong winger, Chase Grant. These are all really good players, and they're all gone this year, and yet it seems like they're the Michigan of the WCHA. They just kind of reload. They got a lot of good freshmen, and they're very quick, tremendous stick skills. I was really impressed with their eye-hand coordination. They scored two, if not three, goals out of the 13 they had on the weekend by batting a puck out of midair and putting it past our goaltender.
Well, I mean, they finish well, and it's interesting, even watching the Michigan Tech game, there's a lot of pace to that game. They were lower scoring affairs. So for some reason, somehow they broke out against us, and then brutal timing on our part. And again, we're part and we're responsible for some of that. But they certainly showed flashes of what we saw last year. And you mentioned some of those losses. So whether it's all coming together for them at this point, and they're going to start, it'll be interesting to watch them moving forward. They have that North Star Cup this weekend, so a couple big games, non-conference and important for the WCHA. So it'll be interesting to scoreboard watching them a little bit. But you're right. They have reloaded, and there's a reason they're the number one team in the conference the last few years. And, that's where we hope to be as we move forward, that there's no ups and downs through it all, that you just bring in the new pieces and they fit in seamlessly and you keep marching on.
Yeah, it's an interesting place, too. They have 16,000 students there, which is, that's a good-sized school, especially in the WCHA. It's a good-sized community, about maybe 50,000 people right there in Mankato proper, and a great facility. Verizon Center is hooked right onto the hotel where we stay, the Hilton Garden Inn, and for the player, I can just imagine when you recruit, they bring these guys in. Shattuck St. Mary's is, what, an hour away, if that. I mean, it's right around the corner. Mike Hastings has done a great job there. He's a former coach in the USHL. And they got a good thing going there. It's very difficult to go in there and win. I would not want to be the team that has to go in there in the first round of the playoffs.
Well, I think everybody's sitting there saying that, and again, they've been up in the top for the last few years. So I think that's a place a lot of people are looking to avoid, that last playoff spot. Obviously, you want in the playoffs, but to go there is difficult. And, their geography definitely helps their recruiting. They've, like, as you mentioned, Shattuck's in their backyard. They're just a short jaunt from Minneapolis, and there's obviously a ton of talent out of there in their high school system and those kids who leave. And then you got, five or six USHL franchises that are within a short drive. And so your footprint is in a really good spot for visits, for going to catching games, anything like that. So, they're set up for success that way. They put in a huge renovation to upgrade their facilities, and Mike Hastings done a very good job there.
I think the most impressive thing, too, you mentioned it a little while ago in the first half of the show, they're defensemen. They're very big. They're great skaters, every one of them. They hit. They play with an edge. They're pretty tough. I think Carter Folgeth was a good example of that. Jake Hann in the third period on Saturday night came down the ice, and like Jake's want to do a little bit late in the game, it's 5-1. He knocks the feet out from under Carter Folgeth. That kid chased him all the way back up the ice into our zone to have a few words with him. Nothing came of it, but he was going to let Jake know, I'm not putting up with that. This is the way I am.
Well, Carter's my cousin, so I know him extremely well. And then the way he plays, and, he had, if you look up his past background, he might have led the USHL in penalty minutes one year. He was a very, very tough customer. His first couple of years, he was a bit of a wild man in the league, and then they tamed him down and then got him playing hockey. And but he's a big, strong kid. He's one of their more simple defensemen. He's more of a shutdown and a penalty kill guy. But then you look at Brickley and Nelson and just their ability to get pucks to the net. And not easy shots. I mean, they're heavy wristers. They're hard pucks to the net. And it's such a dangerous weapon. We talked about it a few weeks back when Rick Conley was up here. And, just the way the game is, your defensemen have to be up, have to be involved in the play to create offense in today's game. So they've done a very good job that way. And that's the model you want to look at and follow.
Okay, we're going to take our last break on the show tonight. We'll be back for a final word on the Laker Hockey Show from the Antlers on ESPN 1400. Okay, we are back for our final segment of the Laker Hockey Show on a temperate Monday night in Sault Ste. Marie. We've had a very much a break on winter this year to this point. Kind of nice out again today for warmth, at least. Not a nice looking day, kind of gray and cloudy, but not cold, not like last winter when we had all the snow. November, we got snowed on and it stayed until April. This year, it's been You know, I noticed that too when we were driving across Damon to Mankato and back. Not a whole lot of snow anywhere. In Wisconsin, it barely covers the grass, and hardly any snow down in Mankato either.
Yeah, easy trip. You know, we need more. I was telling some of the people here tonight, my rink got a little slushy with the warm weather when I was gone, so I was upset when I got back and finally got the shovel late last night, and it's a little bit slush. So I got some work to do, not only with the team, but in the rink in the backyard as well.
Yeah, it's a tough season for outdoor rinks, and got a nice one downtown in Sault Ste. Marie right now, and the guys have put in a really good one on the tennis courts up by the Norris Center too.
Yeah, we're hoping to get the guys out there some point this week as well. So we'll see how the weather holds out and see if we can have some fun out there one day.
So what kind of things do we do this week now? You mentioned it a little bit earlier. It gives you a chance to maybe work on some things that you normally can't. We've got a weekend off. We don't play this coming weekend, so we can maybe work on things in practice to try to improve in some areas where you might not normally spend a lot of time.
Well, instead of game prep and preparing for your opponent, you get to work on your own habits. So it's a good time of the year to really refocus on the way you're trying to play in terms of individual habits. And, you know, along with that, we'll do the skill development work. And then Rich and Doug have done a tremendous job with that. And our guys have it's really energized our players as well. They've liked that. And so that's been good for us. But, yeah, a lot of it will be the habits of playing the right way. You know, we want to ratchet up our compete level. And again, if we don't learn from the weekend, then shame on us. So we know that the pace and the tenacity for us has to increase. And we're going to ask our guys to go out there, you know, not so much tomorrow, but Wednesday and Thursday, and look each other in the eye and hold each other accountable to play at a higher level and to make each other better.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how things go this week. No games this weekend. We travel to Michigan Tech in a couple of weeks' time. That'll be a tough series there. Then we come home. And we've got a really big series against Bemidji State, a team that's just ahead of us in the standings. They've played two more games than the Lakers have, and it'll all be even by the time we play them because they are playing in that North Star Cup this weekend. They play Minnesota and St. Cloud State in that tournament. And then they'll be coming to our place in a few weeks, and that'll be a huge series.
Well, Will, you know, they're all big from here on out. I mean, it's that time of year where you start really watching the standings a little bit more and checking box scores right away. So, you know, obviously you have teams you want to root for to help you out a little bit and hold some other teams in some other places. But, you know, we're not far off. You know, the question is, well, where do we go from here? Well, you know, we're not. Obviously not when, you know, this weekend is not the case, but we're not far from where we want to be. We're only 2 points back of the two teams ahead of us with games in hand, as you mentioned, you know, 6 points out of home ice, which, you know, is a tall task, but with Michigan Tech, you know, on the horizon to catch them, there's a possibility. So it's tough on the road, but, you know, our whole focus will be that Friday game, Michigan Tech. You know, you can't worry about the final standings. You're worried about the first period Friday night. And if we can go in there and find a way to get some road points, then, you know, we'll really get ourselves in a position to fight and scrap for that last spot.
Yeah, we have 10 games remaining in the regular season right now, and two of them are coming up with Tech on the road. We also play on the road up in Anchorage in February. And then the first weekend in March down at Ferris State. We haven't had a whole lot of luck over at Ferris State over the years recently either, but we did play real well against them here in the Sioux earlier this season. So anything could happen there. And then we've got home series with Bemidji in 3 weeks' time, and then Northern Michigan comes here at the end of February.
Yeah, so a tough slate. You know, Bemidji's been on a real tear lately as well. They've had a good second half, and they're playing well. So that'll be interesting to see them again from our series down there. You know, we haven't seen Northern since way early in the year, and you know, we get two there. We went home and home with Northern and then lost on the big sheet and had one of our best wins of the year, the 4-0 shutout on Saturday night. So, you know, those are going to be critical points. And, you know, I think somebody mentioned today, you always look back at some missed opportunities. You know, you're that Huntsville, no matter what happens, you're going to look at that Huntsville weekend and you know, wonder what could have been with those points in hand. But, you know, we put ourselves in a position to have a good stretch run here, and now it's up to us to make sure we're improving and getting ready to peak for the playoffs.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. We'll need some good fan support. We want as many people listening as possible to get out. A reminder on programming, too, the Hockey North Show comes your way tomorrow at 5. Randy Russin will be talking Laker hockey, among other things. I think you'll probably spend a lot of time tomorrow night talking about the Sioux Eagles and the Sioux Thunderbirds. They had quite a game on Saturday night at Puller Stadium. Huge crowd there, and the Eagles edged the first-place Thunderbirds 2-1. That'll be some good fodder for Randy tomorrow. Laker Hockey Talk comes your way at 8:30 on Wednesday morning right here on ESPN 1400. And Damon and I will be back talking on Wednesday morning. And next week, we are going to have a Laker hockey show, even though we don't play this weekend. We got plenty to talk about. We'll probably get a player or two in here with us, maybe an assistant coach, and we'll get ready for Michigan Tech. We'll spend a lot of time talking about that next week right here at the Antlers on the Laker Hockey Show. The sponsors want to keep the show going. So do we. We'll finish up this season fast enough. This show goes by very quickly every week, Damon, and the season goes by pretty quickly. We have 10 games left in the regular season.
Well, that's amazing. And, you know, in the last week of January here, and, you know, as mentioned earlier, you know, Doug and I will hit the road here a little bit later to go out recruiting. So, you know, the weekends, you know, you're out there. There's some midget stuff going on, some showcase events downstate. You know, and Doug's got some showcase events too. So we'll be able to cover a lot of ground. And it's always interesting when your bye weeks line up for what's going around to cover some ground. And you always hope you can get a lot of work done on those bye weeks. And that'll be the case this weekend. So it'll be good to get out there. And, you know, it's always kind of hard to leave the team and you know, miss the day-to-day stuff. But, you know, they're in good hands with Rich. So, you know, Rich will get the offense tuned up to get us going here through the stretch run.
All right, we're going to need that. We need some offense. We need to score some more goals, obviously. We're last in goals four in the league. We are sixth in both power play and penalty kill. We've got some freshmen who lead just about all the categories on the team this year. We're very good defensively. Our PK is one of the top. It's number five in the league at 86%. Just got to get a little bit better and get some luck here. We need some puck luck. We didn't have a whole lot this past weekend.
Well, and you create your own puck luck. So, you know, again, I thought Friday in particular, you know, after that good start, our habits just weren't there. We showed a lot of clips today where, you know, one of our forwards ends up behind the net in the offensive zone, and pretty tough place to score a goal from behind the net. So, you know, part of that's inexperience. Part of that's bad coaching. Like, it's got to be in their brains that they're there, and that's where you play. So, there's just got to be a willingness and a habit to get there, and whether it goes off your head or you collect it and elevate it, like, we've got to bear down and do a better job in that area. So you can believe we'll be hammering that over these next few weeks there. And, you know, we also want to get back to that defensive structure that was so successful. So, you know, we're really excited. You know, we like this team, and, you know, you lick your wounds a little bit from this past weekend, but our guys are a resilient bunch. We'll move forward really quick here, and, you know, getting back on the ice tomorrow will be nice for them to forget about that and start prepping for Michigan Tech and that Winter Carnival Series over there.
Okay, we'll be back next Monday night. We'll talk all about the Michigan Tech Series and the rest of this season. Maybe ask Damon some questions about the recruiting that he's done, and we'll be back next Monday for that. Don't forget the Laker Hockey Talk program this Wednesday morning at 8:30 right here. And tomorrow's show, Hockey North Show with Randy Russin at 5 p.m. All those shows right here on ESPN 1400. Damon, thanks for being here again.
Yep, thank you, Bill. Thanks, everybody.
All right, that's our show for this week. We'll be back next Monday night on ESPN 1400.